So today being Father's Day, I wanted to find some scriptures dealing with fathers, and so I found a few. So I'm going to start with Ephesians chapter 6, reading verse 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And in Colossians 3, 19 through 21, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. In these two separate letters, Paul addresses fathers and the roles that they must play in their children's life. And even though they use the same word provoke in both of these, it's actually two different Greek words. In Ephesians, it's speaking of causing anger, stirring up wrath. In Colossians, it's speaking of causing a contention, a friction in the home. And either way, the point is, as fathers, we're not to intentionally set about causing anguish or causing our children to grow angry with you. Now, this is not to say your goal is to not have your children ever be mad at you. There's no child that's happy when they're told they're having supper time or there's a bedtime. All of us as children plotted our escape from the tyrannical parents when they told us we couldn't have dessert before supper. Wait till I'm 18, I'm going to have all the dessert I want. I won't have to listen to them. But see, Paul's not talking about the normal things. In fact, it tells us that we're supposed to bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. We're supposed to give our children boundaries. That's what they need. That's the healthy relationship. But we're not to go beyond what is needed to correct a child. And I never stand up here and tell you, look to me, I know what I've done this every time perfectly. I've got at least one of my children are here today. I have a daughter-in-law that I'm sure knows some stories from when I was a parent with my kids growing up. I'm not, by any means, did I hit this box all the time. I corrected them when I was mad, I'll be honest. And I apologize for that. But I hope that was the exception, not the rule. And that should always be our thing. We should always try to be intentional in our discipline of our children. That it's necessary, but it's not done for our benefit. It's done for their benefit. And so you don't want them to feel the need to run from you. And far too many parents nowadays, fathers, we've overshot the mark and we're too authoritarian and we were too disciplinarian. And because of that, the children wanted to get as far away from us as soon as they could, which is not good for them. They're running the first chance they get. That's not a healthy thing for a child to do. It's also sad because that's that relationship with God that they're seeing when they hear God is our Heavenly Father, the Father who cares about you, this Father who gave you this gift and stuff. If they had a bad father growing up, that's what they're hearing, and that's why they run from God. It's like, oh, he's like my dad, you know, he was abusive, he was mean, and this God in the Old Testament, he's like killing people and ordering them to kill people. He's just a mean guy. I don't want anything to do with that. And that's sad, and that's one of the things that as parents, as fathers, we own that. That's part of our responsibility. As a church, we own that because we haven't done a good job modeling true Christian love for people. There is justice. There are consequences to sin. There is such a thing as sin. If it was, as I just recently saw in the news, a church that was talking about, well, they were just quoting, you know, 1 John 4, where it's God is love, and love is of God, and love is good, and God loves everybody. If you just tell them that part, then what's John 3:16 talk? What's the whole chapter of John 3 talking about? Why did Jesus come and die on a cross? If God loves everybody, why is there punishment? Why are we born condemned? What's the point? You know, it can't just be love and it can't just be sin. You have to talk about both. The wages of sin is death, but the love that God has for us is he took that death in our place. And so you have to have both. You can't bang on sin. You can't beat people over the head with that. But you can't just like, oh, come here. We love you. God loves you. It's okay. What you're doing is okay. You're okay. Because neither of those are good. They're both bad. And if you're a father, doing either one of those extremes is bad. But the enemy is, we talked about this a month ago when we talked about Mother's Day and how there's a war on motherhood and mothers. The war on fathers is just as bad. They're under attack. The enemy has been undermining the position of father in the homes in America for decades. And it's evident. It's far too evident in the impact that it's had. Satan has used the two most powerful entities he has at his disposal to attack fatherhood, and that's been the United States government and the entertainment industry. The government came along about 60 years ago and decided they were going to have a war on poverty, but that was truly a war on families and a war on fatherhood in particular. They subsidized not having fathers in the home. So guess what? You have less fathers in the home now. It's unfortunate. Some women just find themselves in that position, no fault of their own. Terrible people, terrible guys out there. But the government has encouraged it. They reward you for that. In fact, if you can have more children with more dads, there's an even bigger paycheck for you. That's the way it's set up. And we wonder why, as a society, after 60 years of rewarding that, we've made zero impact on the poverty rate in the United States. You can look it up. It fluctuates with when the economy's good, the poverty rate goes down. When the economy's bad, the poverty rate goes up. The government programs haven't done anything to it. But what we have done over that same time is school shootings are up, drug abuse is up, high school dropout rates are up, the rates of teenage pregnancy are up. And all these are the markers, and every study tells you that if you do not have mother and father in the home, the odds are. Now, I know there are people who beat the odds. Praise God for that. But the odds are, mom and dad aren't in the home, the child's more likely to drop out. The child's more likely to get into trouble with the law. The child's more likely to experiment with drugs. And ultimately, the child's going to have less economic success in the future, and they're going to die sooner. That's what the studies have all told us. But the other problem is, without dad, nobody's modeling fathership. And of course, we prefer good fathership, good modeling over bad. But without that modeling, it's no wonder people are rejecting God at that same time. As our country declared war on poverty, they really declared war on fathership. They declared a guerrilla warfare on God and pushed them out of all their institutions. And so we wonder why, you know, why are children shooting up schools? Why didn't they shoot up schools when there were guns in the school? Because most of those kids had a dad at home. You know, you look for the common denominator. A lot of these kids didn't, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them didn't have dads at home. The one in Uvalde was being raised by grandma, and dad wasn't even and grandpa passed away, and that's when he went off the rails. Because there's no male role model there. And that's what we can do as a church. Because there are women that find themselves in these positions. They're raising their children on their own. That's when the church can come alongside. Uncles, grandfathers, people in the church being the mentor that these kids need. Because that's what can make an impact and change things. Fathers can have a tremendous impact on society. And I talked about this on Mother's Day, that the lie that's been sold to women is men are optional. You don't need one to have a family. You know, everybody got mad. I'm going to give away my age. Some of you may not even get the reference, but Murphy Brown and her spat with Dan Quayle. Remember that? Because Dan Quayle's like, this isn't a good thing to model on TV, that how successful woman doesn't need a man around. And we laughed at it because it was just a TV show. But think about it. That was the 1990s. In 30 short years, and 30 years is short, well, 30 years ago was 1993. That's not that long ago. But think about the 90s with Murphy Brown. 30 years before that, our fathers were Ward Cleaver, Andy Taylor. These were the role models that TV showed. And in 30 years, we had just replaced them. Or we have some buffoon like Al Bundy or Homer Simpson. So he's either been erased or he's a complete buffoon. You don't need one of those around women. And I got a secret for you, women. You tell guys we're not needed, we'll be happy to go do our own thing. Guys are by nature very simple creatures. We truly are. I know women, there's books and everything out there telling you how complicated we are. We're not. My wife had a conversation with our daughter-in-law and her mother one time about our son. She's like, you realize whatever bar you set for him, he will clear that. He loves you and he will do whatever you ask him. If you ask little, don't be surprised if you get little. But if you ask much, you will get much. So, women, if you set the bar of play video games all day, I'll cook, clean, and take care of the kids, don't be surprised if he plays video games all day and you have to cook, clean, and take care of the kids. Does he see you struggling? But you told him. You set the bar. And I know society is like, this is controversial. I know this is probably stepping on somebody's toes, but that's what I'm telling you, what the word says, that the intention, the design of the home is what the enemy is attacking, and he's trying to erode it. And he's succeeding. If you look at society, if you turn on the news, it looks like he's succeeding. Death is reigning because of the absence of dad. You know, children are important. Children need care. Human babies are the most useless creature ever. It amazes me. You watch a baby giraffe, like, has that huge drop and gets up and is like running away from lions already. Human baby can't even hold its head up on its own. So by nature, it needs care. It has to be the center of attention. But the problem is that focus doesn't change. The child's 6, 10, 16, and it's still the center of attention in that home. You've set that child up for a bad expectation. And a lot of times, sometimes it's both parents, but a lot of times, I'm sorry I'm picking on women, a lot of times it's the women that do that. You unintentionally, you give the guy the message that you gave me the child, I just need a check, you go do your own thing. And they look up and he's in the garage, he's spending all his time at work, or he's on the golf link. Well, why? You told him, you gave me a child, pay the bills, and you're good to go. I told you, we're simple creatures. You tell us we can go, we can go. Then you wonder why this teenage, why you're stuck raising all alone. It's like, because you told him to go to the garage when he brought the baby home. He drove you home from the hospital, like, got it from here, and that's what he did. He took you at your word. So, men, this isn't letting you off the hook. Just because she said that, you need to step up. You need to be in there. Even when she says that, insert yourself in there. Put yourself in there because you have to be part of raising your children. You have to be involved because that's what children need. That's the design. That's why God says, you know, in this word, it doesn't say mothers do not provoke your children to wrath. Mothers don't provoke your children unless they become discouraged. It's talking about fathers. Because we're supposed to help out. We're supposed to be, kind of our job to be the disciplinarian. We have to be the heavy sometimes. And knowing that, Paul's saying, don't go overboard with it. Don't be a heavy hand. There's a balance to it. You know, listen to your wife. Maybe you are being a little crazy. You know, maybe wire hangers are fine. I don't know. Wrong gender, but you get the point. You know, sometimes children need correction. I know I've needed correction in my life. My dad's here. He can tell you about a few times, I'm sure. But when we don't have dad in the picture, when dads aren't there, I told you, I went through the statistics. Every one of the indicators by society standard is it's a hard road for the child. Not just physically, though, not just by society standpoints, but in Christianity. dad not being there makes it harder for children to relate to a heavenly father, to this God character that you want to tell them about. They can't comprehend a dad, or if they do, it's just he's a bumbling idiot like the ones I see on TV. So God must be a bumbling idiot like those guys. I mean, look how he made the earth. It's all messed up. The climate's a disaster and all these other things they point to. And we wonder, where do they get these ideas? Because we're telling them about this heavenly father and they go, oh, father, absentee or idiot. So he's either God that's gone on vacation and letting this thing all spin out of control, or he has no idea what he's doing. Because we've allowed that to be perpetuated. It's sad. I've seen now there's a growing movement in this country now that women who do want the man to, it's biblical. There's a hierarchy in the home. Man, woman, children. That's what the Bible says. That's the way it's designed. I talked last week about you do things the way they're designed or they're going to go off the rails. If you don't like the design, I'm sorry. Create your own universe with your own family structure and you can have the rules the way you want. But you live in this one, that's the way it's designed. And when we don't have that, when it's cattywampus for some reason, things go bad. But women that are, there are women who are trying to adhere to that. They're like, yeah, I want that in my life. And they're now ostracized. Society's making fun of them. The only reason a woman would want a husband is either she's too stupid to get by on her own, or she's suffering from some form of Stockholm syndrome. She's an abuse victim and just doesn't realize it. So as men, we're either absentee, idiots, or an abuser. Great choice to choose from. That's what society in the 21st century is telling us about men. And then the very next news article is like, there's another school shooting. Why is this happening? It's got to be the guns. Why are there so many people overdosing on the street? The drugs are so bad. Must be the cartels. The same people, while they're lambasting women who want men in their life and celebrating the women who choose not to, then go around and wondering why all these ills are happening. They created it. They turned their back on God's designed order. And this isn't about pushing the children down the hierarchy. This is about raising mom and dad up on the hierarchy. That's what we need to realize. Because you want your children, you want to model in your home the type of home you want your children to live in someday. You want your daughters to see a husband who loves them and cares for them. And cares for them and cares for the children. You want your sons to see a husband who wants to be involved in his children's lives. And you want to model that for them. And if we do that, if dads will step up and become a co-worker in raising their children, if they will step up and be the person, be the mate that they were designed to be, it will pay off. School attendance will be better. The ills of society, the crime, the drugs, all that will be better. The children's financial future will be better. But their important part, their eternal destination will be better. Because they'll have that proper modeling in the home. That's not to say they're not going to run off and do their thing. I can tell you about my kids. Brother Lewis can tell you about his kids. Just because mom and dad stay together isn't a guarantee that the kids won't have their issues. They'll go do their thing. But if you set that foundation, they'll come back to it. You know, Paul said we're supposed to bring up those children in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's the eternal payoff. When that next generation is handed the mantle and can pick up Christianity and hand it off. You know, even Christianity, what Christianity is left clinging to the edges of society right now isn't true Christianity. A large part of it. Read the studies that come out. They do this, they do the polling. You know, 60-70% of of kids under the age of 30 don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's just a book of some it's like Aesop's fables. It's some clever ideas, take and leave, take some, leave some. Some of them are kind of antiquated. Some of them are kind of good. But all in all, you just, you kind of take it and leave it. Christianity is just about, coming to church, getting a good feeling, being told you're okay, and heading out for the rest of the week. For far too many Christians in this country. And we wonder why churches are struggling. Because, well, I can get that watching a self-help video on YouTube. I can get that hanging out at the bar. My buddies will tell me I'm good. Ah, you're good enough. Both girls and guys. You're good enough. You didn't need him anyways. Oh, you're better off without her. You're just fine the way you are. Well, who doesn't want to hear that message? But the message of the church, the true church, is you're not fine the way you are. That's why Jesus died on a cross, to make you something different. Nobody wants to hear that message. Somebody died for me? My sin is so bad, somebody else died because of it? I'm a decent person. Now, that guy, somebody I'm sure had to die for him, but not me. But no, yes, you. Yes, me. And that's what we need to get across to people. And the war on the family, I talked about this back at Mother's Day. And I told you guys, you're going to get it today too on Father's Day. Fathers, we're just as needed. The warfare against us has been going on probably longer. It's just as insidious. And there's some that feel, well, at least I stay around the house. I didn't divorce her. I stayed here with her. It's like, yeah, but are you really there? Are you really there? Well, I have to work. Well, I didn't say you didn't have to work, but do you have to work that much? You had to work all the overtime? Had to? I'm preaching to myself on this one. I mean, I took overtime that I didn't have to take, but I wanted to be a good employee. I want to be the guy they can count on. If I'm a good employee and they can count on me, then I can have a secure future for my family because I'm invaluable. I've made myself invaluable. No one else answers the phone every time they call. No one else is here every time they need me. So I have to. So this way I'm securing my family's future until I get the phone call on the way to work. Hey, Scott, HR wants to have a conference call when you get in today. Oh, great. Is it about that new contract that we just signed, a 3-year extension for a new customer? No, it's because we're going to close the branch. You're not needed. I told you, I just signed a contract extension and new customers were online. I got a phone call saying stop signing up new customers. That's why I knew I wasn't surprised when the HR call came. It was some bean counters in Virginia made a decision based on some stock market predictions. They decided to close our branch. We were doing everything we could to be profitable. We were profitable. Had nothing to do with us. So that was my reward for the overtime that I spent away from my children. That's what I got for it. And I regret that. I regret being a good employee? No. I regret, there's times I could have said no. There's times I could have said, figure it out. There's a set of manuals on the wall. You can do it. But no, I like being the guy that they had to come to for the answers. Because if they had to come to me for answers, if I could do every job in the branch, I was invaluable. They couldn't replace me unless they closed the branch. So do you really need to work every hour they put in front of you? Or could you do something at home? Because there's something you could do with the family that would benefit them. Do the families all need iPhone 14s? All of them? Could they still make calls on an iPhone 12? I'm just asking, where are our priorities? I told us, guys, we're simple. You want an iPhone 14? I'm taking all the hours I can get. You need a second crafting room? I'll take a second job so you can have a second crafting room. We'll get a bigger house. But you can't give conflicting messages like, we need, and then like, why aren't you here at the birthday parties? Why aren't you here at that? See, if those are your priorities, they're like, you know what? I'm fine with the iPhone 12. I'd really like you to be here for the birthday party. You know what? Our house is big enough. Let's take the kids to the beach this weekend. See, because it has to be about the family unit, then Father has to be part of that. Absentee, whether because he chooses to go off, and I can take a whole another sermon on why society has made it okay for guys to just have children all over the place with different women. Because at the same side, society is like, oh, they look down at women. It's like, sort of, but there's also a check waiting for them if they have women from different men. I'm just, seriously, if you have three children from one man and you get a divorce, you will get 30% of his pay. That's the formula in the state of Texas, 30%. But if you have three different kids from three different men, you will get 20% of each. If those three guys all make the same amount of money, guess what? You're getting 60% of their salary versus 30%. You just doubled your income by spreading it around. And then we wonder why they spread it around. Do I have an answer for that? Many, but we don't have enough time for that. But again, that's what I'm just talking about. Those are things that society does that creates this problem that they then want us to give them even more power over our lives so they can fix a problem that they broke in the first place. When the answer is get back in church. Get back. That's why they don't want charity coming from the church. See, because that's where the second time that the girl comes back pregnant from a different guy and he's leaving her alone, that's when the women of the church are going to take her aside and say, honey, you need to make some better choices. We're going to surround you. We're going to come alongside you. We're going to help you make better choices. We're going to help you find somebody better. But when they go to a blank government office, they go, oh, here's a check. Come back next year with another kid. There's another check. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think they're going to do? It's like, well, it's just replacing dads. I mean, these guys were deadbeats anyways. Would they have been if society wouldn't have made it okay for them to just walk out the door? There used to be a consequence to that. You didn't get to go drink with your buddies. Like, dude, shouldn't you be supporting your kids? What are you doing with another girl, man? You got three kids from three different moms. You really need a fourth one? Come on. But no, we're celebrating him. He's a great guy. Oh, he's fun. He's the life of the party. Everybody wants to hang out with him. He's got all the best stories. But no, we need to start bringing back shame. That's a shameful act. If you're not taking care of your children, that's a shame. You know, it worked with drunk driving. When we stopped laughing at Otis the drunk and started making it a bad thing, people stopped. When we stopped allowing the smoke and we started looking sideways at smokers, and I know some people still smoke, I'm not saying anything, but it's not acceptable in society anymore. Well, then why are these other things become acceptable? The church needs to step up and say, it's wrong. If you're a man, take care of your family. Take care of your family. Be the father. Be present in the home. And if circumstances are that you're not together with the mom for whatever reasons, then you're present as much as you can be for that child. You're the father. You step up and you fill that role because that's the role that's going to stand in the gap when it matters. That's the role that's going to keep the children from going off the rails. I promise you, nobody walks into a school and shoots it up if they have a dad that they go, "Dad, I have a problem. I just had a fight with my girlfriend. Dad, the kids at school are just picking on me. I don't know what to do. Dad, I feel out of place. I feel lost. I go to this school and I feel like I'm invisible. Dad, what do I do?" See, those kids that have a relationship they can do that with don't pick up a gun and shoot up the school, and they don't go pick up drugs because they have that dad. They have a father. They have somebody filling that role that they're supposed to. And that's what we're supposed to do as dads. But far too many kids in this country don't have that person around. He's either absent from the situation altogether, or he's present in body only, and he's inaccessible to them. I'm sure there's a video on YouTube, son. You'll figure it out. But see, if we model godly fatherness, if we model that, then when somebody comes alongside, then when they're told about John 1, 12 and 13, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Why would I want another father if I've only seen terrible ones? I just need another father? Maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting there going, "But my father, my family's terrible," and everything else. Like, that doesn't matter. When I talk about God, I'm not talking about that father you're thinking of. I'm talking about that father you've always wanted to have, that father you've hoped you'd get. That's what John's talking about here. You get to be a children of God to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God wants you. God desires you. You go, "My parents didn't want me. I was an accident. I was an afterthought. I was a paycheck." Not with God. He wants you. He wants you so bad that he sent his son to die on a cross to reconcile you to him so you can have that relationship. So that if you will receive him, he gives you the right, the privilege, the honor to be called one of his children. And see, when you understand that kind of fatherhood, then when you move on, Galatians 3, 26 through 29, "For you are all sons and daughters," I'm adding in for you, "of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You're heirs. Not of Rockefeller or Gates or Musk, you're heirs of a much wealthier person, a much powerful person. Galatians 4, 1 through 5. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." We are adopted as sons. Remember he said earlier there's neither male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. We're all one in God's eyes. So when it says sons, it means daughters. Women, you're included in that. But we can be adopted by his sonship. So you didn't have a good dad here on earth. That's fine. It's not fine. It sucks. It's bad. It's terrible. Nobody should ever be treated that way. But here's the answer. God wants to step in that gap. God wants to be that God, that father that you were supposed to have, that you were designed to have, that somebody somewhere along the line operated against the owner's manual and did it their own way and removed father from the picture. Whether father did it or mother did it, doesn't matter. For you, you're sitting there going, "He's not here." That's okay. God wants to be there. God wants to step in the gap and be that father. And we as the church need to be that for the young people. because they don't have that dad they can go to when things are tough. And we have our Heavenly Father, we can pray to Him, and that's awesome. Do that all the time. But those kids need somebody they can reach out to. Grandpa, uncle, pastor. I'm having this issue. Will you talk to me about it? And old secret, guys, 9 times out of 10, you don't have to know the answer. They just need to be heard. They just need to be heard. That's why they're posting this crud on Facebook. They want somebody to hear them. Are you available for the young people in your life? You may not have kids, but maybe you're a grandparent, maybe you're an aunt, maybe you're an uncle, maybe you're a neighbor. Can you model that? Can you be that ear that listens to them? That encourages them that this does get better? I know we joke about high school never ends. Some parts of it never end. The cliques seem to go on. But you know what changes is you change. If a young person is listening to this, is like, I'm not telling you high school ends because no, you're going to have the same cliques. You're going to have, instead of teachers, you're going to have bosses. Instead of the cliquey students, you're going to have cliquey co-workers. That doesn't change. But you know what changes? You change. You mature. You survive it. And you realize, if I can survive this, I can survive the next challenge. And through God's strength, I can survive whatever challenge comes at me. Because if we seek God, serve God, submit to God, we'll be able to get through these things. We can be the father that we're supposed to be. We can be the surrogate father that we're supposed to be in the lives of those around us. John 16:26-27. In that day you will ask in my name, Jesus speaking. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. I'm going to pause right there. I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. Jesus isn't going to pray to God for you. Jesus just said He's not going to ask the Father for you. Why would He say that? Next verse. For the Father Himself loves you. The Father Himself loves you. Because you have loved me and believed that I came forth from God. Jesus is telling them, if you will ask, I won't have to intercede for you. Pray in my name, and the Father is going to give it to you because He loves you. He loves you and wants to give you. He wants good things for you. I'm not promising you fancy cars or houses or big bank accounts, but I'm promising you the ability to wake up tomorrow. There's sometimes that's the hardest challenge of all. The next breath. And not just physically. Some people have that physically, but spiritually. I know there are people here who've had spiritually the next breath. I know they don't know how they're going to muster the strength to take the next breath, let alone wake up tomorrow, let alone face another day. But you know how you can do that? When you ask the Father who loves you. If He loved me, wouldn't He prevent this? Separate topic, separate discussion, separate day. We're in it now. We're in it now. How are we going to get through it with God? He loves you. Because you believe in Jesus, you can pray in His name and He will give you what you need. And what you need isn't what you think you need. What you need is you need to be a better father. What you need is to be a better mother. What you need is to be a better Christian. You need to seek God and you need to draw closer to Him, because no matter how close you are to God, you could always be closer. None of us have reached that goal yet. The best we can do is to be better tomorrow than we were today and seek after Him. See, the Heavenly Father, He's wanting to give you the best. And the thing is, the best isn't the car or the house or the bank account or the girl or the guy or whatever. The best is Himself. That's what He's wanting to give you. Himself, that relationship with Him. He gave Himself to make relationship possible. If you turn to Him, acknowledge your sins, the price that they cost Him at the cross, and accept His forgiveness, you can have that relationship restored. He's longing to bless you. However that may look here on earth, whether you live on the right side of town or the wrong side of town, that doesn't matter, because the blessing is what's to come. The blessing is the eternal life. The blessing is yesterday talking with the Wilson boys, telling them, you get to see your mom again. I know I'm going to see her again. I'm going to get to see Carolyn again. That's a blessing. And that's how we were able to bless them. I didn't tell them they're going to win the lotto tomorrow or they're going to have fancy cars, but you'll get to see your mom again. Who wouldn't make that trade-off any day of the week? As fathers, our job, our privilege is to take these children, they're loaned to us by God. It's a cliche, I know, but they are. They're loaned to us by God. We get 18 years to take that thing that couldn't even hold its head up and turn it into something useful to society, not that's going to be a drag on it. And 18 years is not long enough. In all honesty, you've only got about 10, 12 years. After that, it's pretty much locked in. You're just like guiding what you've already created. You're not making any major adjustments after 12 years old. But your job is to take these children, point them back to God so they can be useful in His hands. Much like Hannah when she got Samuel. When she was blessed with a baby, she said, I will give him back to you. If you bless me with a child, I will dedicate him back to you. And you know, ultimately, that's what all parents' job is, to point that child back to God, to give him back to them, to give him that foundation, to make that helpless, can't hold its head up thing useful in the Father's hands. And if you do that, you're a success. If you do that, you're a good father. By doing that, you can be the father that God designed you to be, the father that every child needs, and the father that this society is dying for lack of. So this Father's Day, I want to encourage you, all fathers, to repent. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none perfect, not one. So I stand before you as a father that I need to repent. But you woke up today. Lord willing, you'll wake up tomorrow. So there's a chance. There's a chance to do better. There's a chance to be that father you were created to be. So thank God for the opportunity to be a father. And maybe it's not for your children alone. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Maybe it's a niece or nephew. Maybe it's a neighbor. Like I said, maybe it's some other child that you need to step in that gap for. Repent for where you failed and pray that God will open that door again. Pray that those lines will stay open so that you can be the Father that points people to the Father. Because that's our job. So with that, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody want to come forward for any reason? The altar is open. Father God, there's so much to that title, Father, that we've dragged through the mud as human beings. We repent of that, Father. Where we've had any part in doing so, we repent right now. We turn our back on that. We just call on you, God, to give us the ability, the strength, the courage to step up. Because in this day and age, in this society, it's considered toxic to step up and be a father. Let us not pay attention to the announcers on TV, the social media stars, the influencers. Let us step up to be the men, the fathers that you called us to be and you designed us to be. So give us that courage. Give us that wisdom. It takes your wisdom to do that. We cannot do it in our own power, in our own strength. Help us bring the respect back to the title Father. So that when we tell people about our Heavenly Father, the perfect Father, they will be curious. They will be seeking. And they'll be receptive. Because of the power, because of the change. The change in our lives and the difference that we stand out from the rest. Help that be impactful to your kingdom and your purposes. Father, we thank you for everyone here today. Again, thank you especially for the fathers that are here. God, we pray that you'll keep us close to you. Make us all sensitive to your leading, to your spirit, to that still small voice as we go through our lives. And we thank you, as always, for the shed blood of Jesus, which makes us our prayers and petitions possible. It's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful week. Happy Father's Day.